Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being part of the Paradise Church family. And for this church and every member and every friend and every visitor. And I pray you open our hearts and minds to receive the message from the Bible you have for us. And that when it was said and done, Lord, we would have heard and seen Jesus and Him alone. Use me to this end, and we will give you the praise and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The culture in which we live challenges a Christian lifestyle daily. As Christians, we often face tough choices of how we engage the culture with the truth of Jesus Christ. And October 31st will be no exception. Halloween is a major money-making holiday that captures our lives this time every year. Every store is filled with Halloween candy, costumes, decorations, TV, radio, schools. More give attention to October 31st. Halloween is rooted deeply in our culture. Therefore, we ask this question. Is this a problem? Or does it bring potential? And I would like to answer that question today. Glow in the dark. Halloween comes from the pagan belief that the Celts, who lived more than 2,000 years ago in an area from Great Britain all the way to Germany. The Celtic vigil of Samhain, named after their god Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, is the source of the present-day Halloween celebration. Their New Year's begins on November 1st. They believe that Samhain gathered all the souls of those who had died in the past year. These souls have been confined to the bodies of animals to atone for their sins. They were then sacrificed on October 31st. Today, Wicca is one of the fastest growing cults in America. Wicca is a neo-pagan religion. It can be traced back to Gardnerian witchcrafts, which was founded in the UK during the late 1940s. Wicca is based on symbols, seasonal days of celebration, beliefs and deities of ancient Celtic society. Added to this, the material were Masonic and ceremonial magical components from recent centuries. In this respect, it is a religion whose roots go back almost three millennia to the formation of Celtic society around 800 BC. Modern witches, Wiccans, celebrate eight main holidays. The most important of these is, guess what? Samhain Halloween. Samhain is considered the most important because the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead is at its thinnest point in the year, making communication easier. The souls of the dead are reported to come to the land of the living on October 31st. Now that first picture you see there of Wiccan is called hand fasting. like fasting, hand fasting ceremony. This is taking place in England. The other picture next to it is an altar statue of the horned god and the mother goddess, owned by the mother of Wicca, Doreen Valente. The next picture is a pentacle worn as a pendant, depicting the pentagram of five-pointed star used as a symbol of Wicca by many adherents. The sculpture of the horn god of Wicca found in the Museum of Witchcraft in Cornwall is the next picture you see. Thus, my brothers and sisters, Halloween originally began from completely pagan roots because people were superstitious and afraid of the dark. People generally don't like darkness. Darkness too often is a time when life becomes uncertain and even scary. But again I say, glow in the dark. And so Halloween morphed from a child's holiday to many adults now participate in dramatic ways, such as this house you see decorated here with all kinds of heathen and evil and death symbols. They go to great extreme and great expense to participate in this holiday. And very few of the signs and symbols are appropriate for a Christian that knows Jesus and loves Jesus. And so, my friends, what are we as Christians going to do about this holiday? Now, I give you the history so that you know the roots of this. What amazed me is there is no vestige of Christianity in this holiday at all. And in a day in which health is becoming more prevalent and pushed in our society, we have a day in which we take our children out to a stranger's home and collect tons of chocolate and sugar. So what are we going to do about it? I'll tell you what I'd like to suggest. Let's look at what the Bible says about light and dark. For I'm sure that no one here would disagree with me that Halloween is a very dark celebration. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and let's turn first to John 3:19. And let's see what Jesus tells us here in John 3:19. Now, of course, this is a very powerful section of Scripture in which Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who came at night to see Him, in which, my friends, He announced to Nicodemus, you must what? You must be born again. Notice what he says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now, friends, I don't want to mix this up with the statement I made that the foundation of Halloween is the fear of dark. Because you see, how many of you had to have a nightlight on in your bedroom when you went to bed? Well, don't raise your hands, but see? A lot of people. They don't like the dark. But there's a different kind of darkness that's surrounding Halloween. And notice Jesus came into the world. He was the light of the world. And what did men love more? Darkness rather than light. And so what am I doing here, my friends? I'm building a case that the principle from the Bible excludes Christians in participating in any way, shape, or form in this holiday. And I want to remind you that there was a day when my friend who was teaching me the Bible, and we had studied the Sabbath, he took me to his parents' cabin in the woods of northern Wisconsin, and there stood a little lake, the only cabin on that lake. To me, that's like paradise. And I stared at that water, and all I could think of was my fishing pole in the car. But I remember that he taught me the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath you don't do that. Mind you, I wasn't even baptized yet. And inside me raged this incredible battle, and it built to such a pitch that the next thing I know, I went back to the car, opened the trunk, took out my fishing rod, and I went down to the lake and went fishing. I know what it's like to be tempted. And I know what it's like to fail. But my friends, as mature Christians, we've got to look at this. The cultural pressures are strong that we conform. But the Bible says to us, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Go to Paul penning a letter here to the Thessalonians, and notice what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. I want the children to turn in their Bibles too and follow along as we look at this verse, and we got another one coming up here in Ephesians 5:8 and Ephesians 5:11. Notice what it says here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. Everybody have it? All right, here it is. You are all the sons of what? And sons of the... We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now Paul was writing to a very superstition, heathen-based church set in Thessalonica. And he was reminding them that we are no longer children of darkness and of night. That we are children of light and of day, and that we can't allow ourselves to be caught up in these dark matters that are enveloping our world at such an extreme and at such a rapid pace. Folks, go down to the strip if you're crazy enough on October 31st and take a look at the get-ups that will be worn on the street from grown men and women that depict horrible, fiendish, murdering monsters and ghouls and death and destruction as if it's something to be extolled and honored. To the Wicca, it's the day of the dead. It's their most important day of the year. Those have read Roger Morneau, he mentions this very fact in his book, Trip into the Supernatural. But you see, we are the sons of light. We are the sons of day. And that means when the cultural pressures begin to be brought upon us, we must remember our heritage. Our heritage is you're a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, and we do not partake in darkness. No matter how strong an urge you have to go to the car and get your fishing pole. And by the way, I got baptized and I didn't do that again, but I went to those lakes and I went, oh boy, I can't wait for sunset. Well, let's take a look at Ephesians 5:8. This one will give us some direct counsel. Now Paul's writing to another one of his churches. And remember, these churches that Paul set up, he was the apostle to the non-Jew. He was the apostle to the heathen. He was the apostle to the pagan. He set these church up in the strongholds of paganism, where the pressures were the greatest to conform with their rites and their ceremonies and their foolishness. And notice what he says in Ephesians 5:8, and then what he says in Ephesians 5:11. Do you have your Bibles open? For you were once what? Darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And then he goes on, but in verse 11 he says, and we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So that's what we're doing here. Nobody is criticizing, no one is condemning, and no one is criticizing and no one is condemned. But it's time for us to begin to weigh the balances and look at this the way Jesus looks at it. Why would a Christian who loves the Lord who died for us play any part in such a heathen-based ceremony or holiday in which the worst characteristics of mankind and his thinking are expressed openly as if there was virtue in it? There isn't. And then I thought you'd really like this. I want you to turn to Revelation 21:25 and let's see if we can put this together. As we're moving towards a conclusion here. Second to the last chapter in the last book of the Bible. This astounds me. I try to picture this. You know, have any of you ever experienced depression? And what is one of the strongest antidotes or medicines against depression to me? It's the sunlight. Am I right? Sunlight. You feel the warm heat of the sun. Do you have verse 25? Let's read this. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Parentheses. There shall be no night there. Come on. Hallelujah. Have you read this before or did you just pass by it? I know that. I'm a minister and sometimes I've read a text. Somebody says, well, this text says that. And I go, where's that at? And I go look it up. I thought, no, my Bible doesn't say that. I look it up here. I got an underline. Didn't even notice. There is no sun in heaven. S-U-N. I mean, excuse me. There is no light in heaven. No, I didn't get that right yet, did I? There's no darkness in heaven. There's no night. And we're not going to get tired. That's a tough one to think about. Well, just in case we missed it, God is very thorough. So now we go to the last chapter of the book of Revelation and we read verse 5. And what does he say there? There will be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. My friends, let's practice here and now what we're going to experience in heaven. Our light is Jesus. We do not want to shine any way, shape, or form in the light of Satan. By the simple fact that Samhain is the God of the dead, tells you, and actually for me conjures up my experience in reading about mythology, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and all these crazy gods of different kind that are over this and that were fooling around with humans and other people. And our God's a straight shooter, man. And our God is the only one that gave His life so that I could live. So my friends, we are not the sons of darkness or of night. We are the sons of light. We are the sons of day. And we should not participate in these. Well, the closing text is John 8, verse 12. Can you guess what that is? John 8, verse 12. I know some of you can, but I'm going to turn to it anyway. Are you ready? All right. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so, my friends, I encourage us to recognize today, no matter how bad you want that fishing pole, to understand that Jesus is light, we don't imbibe at all in darkness. Now, here's a couple of spirit of prophecy directives that have really helped Jenny and I as parents, as well as leaders. First of all, don't take something from your children unless you have something better to replace it. Right? Yeah, and I can remember the struggle. We just simply take something away and say, you can't do that, you can't read that, you can't eat that, you can't say that. But we don't say, but here is what you can read. Here is what you can eat. Here is what you can see. Here is what you, etc. And so I want to invite you to participate in glowing in the dark. And glowing in the dark is to take the beautiful little tracks, glow, and come with us on Thursday night, October 31st, 5:30 or 6 p.m. And we're going to go out for 1 hour if you come at 5:30 and 1 hour if you come at 6 with the Pathfinders and the Adventurers. And I want all of us adults, and let's go down the street in our neighborhood here and hand out glow tracks. We're going to go to the door and look what that glow track, we got a whole box of these, says. A gift for you. Not trick or treat. By the way, you get that trick or treat? There's a history behind that. But we all know either you give us something or we're going to do something to your property. We're not going to ask for anything. Put that candy bar back. We're there to give them a glow track. I know some of you will cheat. But let's glow in the dark. Let's take this horrible situation of the thing called Halloween and turn it on its head and capitalize. See, that's the other principle in the spirit of prophecy. Don't let opportunities like this slip by or Satan to win the victory. Instead, let's go. In fact, take a look at this. Here's three other boxes we have. Steps to health. People are very interested in health. Another one, two eternities. And then finally, the last glow, we have a whole box, an intelligent faith. 1 hour. And then we're going to come back here to a delicious potato bar so that the Pathfinders can raise money for Oshkosh. Now, can you beat that? So I'm challenging you on Thursday to come here instead of imbibing in the foolishness. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I'm staying at home, and when they come trick-or-treating, I don't give candy, I give glow tracks. Well, bully for you. I mean, praise the Lord for you. I think that's great. But for me, I want to get my kids out of the house. I don't want them to see the costumes. You know, our kids who go to public school see all that stuff. And let's come here and go door to door, hand out the glow tracks, come back and have a potato bar and help our Pathfinders get to Oshkosh. And so, my friends, in closing, I want you to know, we are the light of the world. And we don't hide it under a bushel. I pray that you seriously consider Thursday night to glow in the dark and then help our Pathfinders make it to Oshkosh. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for making it plain for us, which makes it easier for us to decide what to do, even though those temptations are strong. And so I pray for each parent who's here, each grandparent who's here. I pray that you would give them courage and strength to follow the principles of the Bible and to join us, Lord, in an alternative to the darkness that is spread on October 31st, as well as all the evil that transpires that we in our innocence don't even know about. Help us, Father, to see what a high calling we have and pull together, and the joy that these glow tracks will bring to these people, Lord. And increase your kingdom. Lord, let decisions be made right now before they leave this room. And we will give you and you alone the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.